Attention, CKLN listeners.
This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me. I'll get you.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take the sting out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me. So the world feed it beans. It's gassed up. If it thinks it's stopping me, I'ma be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, undoubtedly. And all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. No way fans are bust, don't try to ask him why or how can he. From infinite down to the last relapse album, he still s***ing. Whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he bows out or he just bows out of him. Whichever comes first, for better or worse. He's married to the game, like a f*** you for Christmas. His gift is a curse. Forget the earth, he's got the urge to pull his d- from the dirt. These words and the rhythm for you to know it's a rap. You said you was king, you lied through your teeth. For that, your feelings. Instead of getting crowned, you're getting capped. And to the fans, I never let you down again, I'm back. I promise to never go back on that promise. In fact, let's be honest, at last we laughed. CD was aired, perhaps I ran them accents into the ground. Relax, I ain't going back to that now. All I'm trying to say is get back, click, clack, clap. Cause I ain't playing around. It's a game called circling, I don't know how. I'm way too up to back down. Think I'm still trying to figure this crap out. Thought I had it mapped out, but I guess I didn't. This f***ing black cloud still follows me around, but it's time to exercise these demons. These motherf***ers are doing jumping jacks now.
I did it for me. Admittedly, I probably did it subliminally for you, so I could come back a brand new me. You helped see me through, and don't even realize what you did. Cause believe me, you, I've been through the ringer, but they can do little to the middle finger. I think I got a tear in my eye. I feel like the king of my world. Haters can make like bees with no stingers and drop dead. No more beef flingers, no more drama from now on. I promise to focus solely on handling my responsibilities as a father. So I solemnly swear to always treat this roof like my daughter's and raise it. Couldn't lick a single on it. Cause the way I feel, I'm strong enough to go to the pub or the corner.
check, check. Good morning, CKLN listeners. That's right. It is. Well, if the G20 was on the weekend and it's over.
4, 3, 2, 1. What we're fighting for? 3, 2, 1. I don't know what. 4, 3, 2, 1. What we're fighting for? 3, 2, 1. I don't know what.
And that's right. If the G20 is over, then it would happen to be the 28th day of June 2010. It is a Monday. You are listening to CKLN Radio. This is CKLN Rude Awakening. And your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. here on CKLN 88.1, CKLN.fm, and Rogers Cable Box 947. So hope you folks had a good week. Hope you folks had a good weekend. Haven't spoken to you since Thursday. And on Thursday's show, last Thursday, as I do host Mondays to Thursdays, my colleague JP hosts CKLN Rude Awakenings on Fridays. But as of last Thursday, I did happen to, title and post the MP3 of the show. And I signed off Thursday morning around 8, 9-ish or whatever, when I finally finished uploading the show, by titling last episode, "Does Toronto Like Hosting the New Psychopathic World Government?" And the reason I brought that up is because, well... And the reason is that this is who ordered all this nonsense on the weekend between the crazy to the point of oppressive police presence that lowered the volume in the city of the average person substantially whenever they were around to the protests themselves. And the violence that was unnecessary, uncalled for, and in fact that may have been manufactured, engineered by the state as part of this whole exercise, endangering many average Canadians and endangering many cops out there as well, who had to stand beside stuff that might get blown up or attacked. So the whole thing was just complete insanity. Even Mayor Miller, in a somber moment, too little too late, I suppose. But Mayor Miller, in a somber moment on television, yesterday, said that, and said, "Hey, what do you think of the G20 thing?" And he said, "My advice is if you're ever mayor of a city, never, ever, ever host the G20 summit." I said, "But you are mayor of a city. You're mayor of this city. And this city has been screwed by the G20 summit." And thanks for the advice, buddy. But where the hell were you? When we needed you to act a little bit more responsible with our city's, time, money, interests, resources, than to accept what just happened. So, here on the 28th day of June 2010, it might help to recap and take stock of what's actually happened. And so that's what we're going to do here on today's show. I'm going to share some of my thoughts with you. I'm going to break down a bit of the media because from what I could tell, based on everything that I saw, this was a giant psychological operation conducted on the people of Toronto. It was disgusting in the sense, that we shouldn't be treated like that. We shouldn't have, these type of exercises run on us to see what our tolerance for BS is. And so it's important, during martial law itself, which is what I felt, everything added up to, you could say this isn't martial law because there wasn't a big headline saying it was martial law on TV. The problem with that is, of course, that the TV is not going to tell us. There's not going to be one great big moment out there where the television says, "Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Tonight on the news, we've decided to let all of you know that it's time for all of you to take government and corporate corruption seriously. So tonight is the night we let you know that, and we encourage you to take to the streets in peaceful general strikes, where you express your solidarity with your neighbors and your opposition to government policies that are, you know, threatening your livelihoods and your futures. You know, there won't be a moment like that on TV. There won't be a moment. There won't be any sort of collective sigh that where we go, oh, finally, we're all going to take this seriously. Thank you, TV, for telling us. We have to take these issues seriously when we have evidence that they're serious. And that does include, you know, how our, you know, cops, troops, mercs, and spooks are being used to, are being used. I just took a cab up here this morning because I was late working on some stuff last night, and then late, I woke up on time, but then I think I dozed off a bit, meditating on some other ideas this morning. And I did pass a few more police than normal in the morning, but nothing too crazy this morning. So I guess they're just coming off the, the buzz of taking on the scrappers of the G20. I'm just looking at some highlights here from Google News. Just hit G20. G20 fence comes down in Toronto. No unauthorized people got past the barrier to where the G20 meters were leading. All right, so let's talk about the fence. Let's talk about that giant half a concentration camp, for argument's sake. And I'll break down a couple of articles and my thoughts on, not just my thoughts and my thoughts as they come trickling out of my mouth, but my thoughts on the thoughts of the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, who were unfortunately behind a fence for most of the last week, in quite tragic circumstances. So here's the article. For you folks out there, it is the 28th day of June 2010, and you can be happy that the G20 fence is coming down. It says here, city resumes to normal life after summit. Toronto is preparing to resume normal life after the G20 meeting ended Sunday. As world leaders headed home, shopkeepers in the city were cleaning up the mess left by black bloc protesters, and police officers were standing down. An officer from the Chatham-Kent Police, one of thousands who came to the city to provide G20 security, tweeted Monday that he'd been proud to help but was missing his family. Quote, 2 weeks in Toronto. One more day and I get to go home to my wife and baby girl. See? That's a cop for you. He's got a wife. He's got a baby girl. Yeah, he looks scary as hell because, you know, he works out a lot. And he's got his, you know, grim game face on. And he's there with, you know, 714 other cops at the intersection that, you know, on a normal day would see, you know, one every 20 minutes. And so, yes, they look scary. But I will say this to you folks out there in CKLN Radio listener land. I have been bouncing off the martial law for the last 2 weeks. I've been ID'd a dozen times. I've been stopped. I had stopped for a thought crime once in the financial district, walking through with my headphones on and a pissed off look as six cops rolled up on me and flashed, "Sir, stop." Including a beautiful, just beautiful redhead female police officer who was the first to stop me while the others kind of flanked me in a semicircle to my left. Well, we're out of eye line, and she flashed in front of me, held up her hand and stopped against the stark gray concrete background of the financial district. And I was, God, I probably would have stopped for a sec anyway, but I was like, sure, stop. Sir, take off your headphones. Sir, take off your sunglasses. All right, sir, can I, you know, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just walking, you know, kind of over there to King Street. Was going to go second cup, maybe Tim Hortons, get a cup of coffee, chill out for a minute. And she's like, oh, we got a call about you. And I'm like, okay, so some security guards saw me walking by with a big backpack. You know, I'm playing some rap music, trying to, you know, keep my stones to handle this situation here. And you guys flashed up and saw me. And so it was her, and there was another beautiful female cop just to my left, and there was four dudes who were cool, you know, good-looking, tough, tall, Italian-ish dude behind me. Checked my bag with black gloves. The other guy's there. Then there's an older officer in the back who, when I re-identified myself, because it was like the fifth time that day I'd been stopped, and again, this is all taking place on Wednesday, and then more silliness happened on Thursday. But when I mentioned my name, or no, when I said, oh, I was just stopped like 10 minutes ago, and I know you said don't reach for my bag, like a guy 10 minutes ago, you know, told me to open my bag, so sorry about that. And, you know, the young, good-looking-ish guy, you know, put some black gloves on, looked through it. The older guy was just chilling. He was like, oh, yeah, is that your name? Yeah, I know your name. And and done. You know, we know who you are. We're all just chilling. We're just going to do this. And after that, they were all very nice. And the female officers were very nice and, you know, and so on. And some officers have commented to my 9/11 was an inside job shirt. And, you know, some have said, you know, good luck, be careful and so on. And it was an amazing situation to just be walking by and just, you know, putting up these little posters with my Yoo-hoo or Yoo-hoo like glue sticks, and to have, you know, 50 cops walk by and be like, you know, nod, you know, at least a polite nod, or if nothing, that's fine. You know, it's your business, your day, or whatever. And then, you know, have 50 cops walk by and be like, cool with what I'm doing. And then another, you know, 10 walk by and just roll up. Shh, whoa, what are you doing? And so I mentioned some of this last Thursday. So very, very strange situation. But back to that. It's just and the CBC is humanizing them. And, you know, some deserve to be, some don't. But, you know, all in all, you know, for what they were ordered to do, I'm going to try not to be too anti-cop, because I know that plays into the bigger power structure. Here on the show, I talk about the New World Order, the system of wealthy central banking families who created a fiat money system where they print money out of nothing, basically. They create it and after vesting some power in that institution, and then loan it to governments worldwide through various central banks at interest, even though they printed it from nothing and just kind of made it up. And that's how they, you know, they use that system to control the world. And their political puppet leaders at the G20 were here selling us the idea that they're, in fact, in charge, when, in fact, they are not. So back here to the article here. Staffers arriving for early morning shifts at the CBC said that for the first time in 3 days, they did not have to show special identification to police officers guarding the security fence. The CBC building in Toronto is within the security zone. Transportation systems closed or operating on special schedules or routes because of the meetings and the violent demonstrations returned to their regular schedules. Ontario Provincial Police Toronto Area Officer Sergeant Dave Woodford tweeted early Monday that the commute on the major highways around the city is back to normal. And so on and so forth. It also said 604 people were arrested over the weekend. My God. By early Monday, the ISU, Integrated Security Unit, said 604 people had been arrested over the weekend. Some had been released. About 70 people were rounded up at the University of Toronto's Graduate Student Union after police said they found makeshift weapons, including bricks and the black clothing favored by Black Bloc, hidden in bushes. The GSU building was being used as a hostel for out-of-town protesters, a GSU spokesperson told the Toronto Star. The university issued a statement saying it was waiting for information from the police about the circumstances of the arrests. The building is operated by students, not by the university. The campus, which had largely been shut down for the summit, was to reopen Monday. You see, you crazy kids. That's why you can't just buy the simplest and stupidest explanation you find for these things. Because if you do, then you'll buy the simplest and stupidest explanation for what to do about these things. And that includes, you know, protesting like a lunatic, as the state wants you to, because there's no way, you know, if you don't, these are exercises in population control. Make no mistake about that. You know, they are government exercises in teaching the police how to control us. Make absolutely no mistake about that. It's really hard to do here in Canada unless the government is able to invite a whole bunch of people to yell at a whole bunch of police. Unless they can somehow arrange that, then it's very difficult for the government to find a way to get the police on a large scale to control the public on a large scale in this country. They don't do it at most events. They don't do it at Taste the Danforth. They don't do it at Carabana much. They don't do it at you know, in other situations that much. And they don't want to do it. They don't really want to do it. You know, they're at a rock concert. There's thousands of people there. They're just chilling. You know, they're on the streets and people are just doing their thing and they're just doing their thing. And they don't really want to, you know, treat, you know, us like we're a potential threat. unless we all start getting together in large groups and yelling like crazy at them. At which days they can go, oh, well, screw this. You know, if I got to crack a couple of heads to take care of these yabos, then, you know, it is what it is. So do keep that in mind out there. Before you feel like indulging in this sort of behavior. This is a setup. It's a setup. The cops are being set up. The people are being set up. The protesters are being set up. And this is why this is what's promoted in the media. But I do love music, and I do love the work of Mr. Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. So as is customary, on Mondays, I'm going to flash to the latest episode of his show from Friday evening, June 25th, 2010. Thoughts of change we think are ours, alas, really, though really via lackeys of the ruling class. And so he's going to break down a bit of how, you know, we think that this is our change we're fighting for. But when we're invited to by the government and corporate media to try and affect change in these specific ways, we should realize it's BS and look for something better.
That's where I'm going tonight with some of my own thoughts. Back after these messages.
That's right. Mr. Watt is a very, very knowledgeable guy. He's at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. Basically, in a nutshell, rich people, Ford, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and so on, they created tax-exempt wealthy foundations to give out grants, to grant permission to certain activists and academics and scientists to do certain work to push a bigger agenda. And we were victimized by that agenda throughout the week and on the weekend.
Compartments, if you like, or rooms or areas or realities or worlds within, all within a system, a computerized system. But, of course, those within the systems didn't know it. And the whole thing was powered by people who didn't even know that they were actually in tanks getting used like batteries to fuel the whole thing. Their energy was sucked off them. They were given fake lives in a virtual reality, which they thought was real. And that is much like the world we're living in today, because very few people do question the reality they're in. They're born into it. They take things for granted. They take the system for granted. That they're born into is just, somehow it got there by itself. It's just there. You're born into it. Money's there. The system's there. Work is there. Choices for work, hopefully, and they're diminishing too, is also there as well. So you have a whole system you're born into that you did not create, that was pre-existing, and obviously somebody designed it, and somebody updates it. Who is the grand architect for that? Who updates it? Well, we can get clues to things. We can get exposés in history of the big organizations that formed to control the money system for centuries and have their annual meetings. And then we find many of those particular people involved in creating institutions for world governments, like the Royal Institute for International Affairs that came out of the Lord Alfred Milner group, who actually was a German. And many of his workers, in fact, were German, too, or Prussian. And they created the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and they created the Council on Foreign Relations, and then they changed their name in Canada recently to a different name, but it's the same group. And they also have a European Institute for International Affairs for the whole of the European Union. And they've been at it for over a century, working steadily towards a world government. And people will think, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with world government? Well, number one, who's running it? And what kind of world government do they want to bring in? When you go into how this system was born from the beginnings of the British Empire and through the British Empire days to the days of Milner, the only people who really, really had an idea on cost for anything at all were those who were involved in creating empires. They had to fund armies. They had to tax citizens of whole nations for their armies. They had to have supply chains, munitions, all of that. They really figured all this out. And at the time, too, even 100 years ago, they thought, well, things are really to an extent are rather finite. Material is finite to an extent. And that's when the whole idea of running out of things, occurred to them first, naturally, because they were the real economists, not the phony ones who turn out from universities today. These guys were running the money supply of most of the world at the time, and doing all the accounting for it too, and also running countries as property, with all of their citizens down as property and taxable subjects. So it was around the same time as the Milner Group was forming that branches came off for special purposes, specialized branches that would have continuation down through the century to the present time, continuing with their particular special purpose. And you got the Fabian Society that was one arm of them. Their job was to control the working people and get them on board primarily with their agenda, and always to be global for world government. Of course, they couched it under the terms world governance, and even Brzezinski on that famous CFR talk that was given and published for the public to see, mind you, and people don't think about that, when he supposedly said that they were worried at the top about the public being politically aware for the first time. Well, that was no coincidence. It was shown to the public and given to the public. But I'll try and touch on that later. So the Fabian Society wanted governance as well, global governance. And governance is simply a ploy, a tool to use the term rather than say government, because obviously they want government. There has to be government to do something, a controlling group at the top. But it boils down to material and goods. And they also came out and formed other societies. Now, Brzezinski goes on about the technocrats and explained that technocrats, and so did Professor Carl Quigley, technocrats, really Brzezinski is one. He goes around the world understanding the technique of manipulation, geopolitics and warfare, to always attain a strategy, the end of a strategy, a plan, by having those who are even fighting each other and don't know they're going to be fighting each other in the future is a means to an end, to something beyond that still to come, like dominoes going down one at a time. But there's also technocracy itself. You see, in the late 1800s, people came out with science. Science was a massive thing, had a tremendous influence in the 1800s. They thought that the sky was the limit. And for the first time, you had the sci-fi novels of the era talking about going to the moon and doing amazing things with electricity, which they were really experimenting. It was new to them to an extent. And Tesla was coming out with his amazing inventions. They were having science fairs in the US and Britain, and they saw no end to this whatsoever. They thought it would go on forever. But then it dawned on them, too, that everything that they used came out of material, and once it was used, it was gone. And that tied in again with the same banking group, the Lord Milner's group, who included the Rothschilds, that saw that to maintain control, they'd have to bring in a new system over the public and have the public participate in the system willingly. The best way to get the public to go into a system willingly, when actually they'll be worse off than before, is to basically bring on a revolution. And so they use revolutions for the communist systems, a fast way to unite a whole bunch of countries together under the same system. It's a standardization process. And Lenin himself said that the communist dictatorship, or the dictatorship of the proletariat, which really over the proletariat, would only last a generation. And then it would blend into a system not quite communist, not quite capitalist. Well, that's socialism, you see. And that is a system we're in and going under even faster. I've touched before on different revolutions we've had that most folk think nothing of, because it's strange that you can go through them and folk think nothing of them. One of them was, apart from all the cultural revolutions we've had, like the gender revolution and the feminist revolution, these were all funded by the same group to start up and to keep going. because that destroyed the family unit again, because the opposition they were going to have to this coming system was from males primarily, only if the males had something to fight for. Males generally never fight for themselves, they fight for other people. They go and fight for colonels and generals or any guy who tells them to go off and fight, put uniform on, but they won't stand up and fight for themselves individually unless they're standing up for their wife and family. So you destroy the family and they won't stand up and fight. That's a simple truth of life. But we went through the hippie revolution as well. You know, they tried that before in 1920s Germany, and it was the wandering folk that had at the time. And it was a kind of back to nature, a rebellion in some aspects against science. But at the same time, too, they liked their musical instruments and things that were made by industry. And the same thing with the later hippie era. And I've gone through some of the documentation on that era, who started it up, for instance. It was not a spontaneous thing from the public. It involved people in the CIA. It involved people in MI5 in Britain and other agencies across Europe. It involved, and they're all ex-military who led the charge, even in the music industry. They set up Laurel Canyon with Zappa and the Frankfurt Group. The Frankfurt Group was related to the Macy Group as well. The Macy Group were brought in from Europe. Most of them were refugees from pre-World War II Germany. And they were set up in the U.S. in New York. And the president gave them full rights to create a new system for America and the world and all the funding they would need. Now, that goes right through all education, the type of education you would get, the social engineering education you would have right up to the present time. And at the same time, they were putting out, come along the 50s and the 60s, they knew they'd have to separate the young. You always go for the young to train them into a new system. Forget the older folk. The Soviets already knew that. With the older folk, you couldn't re-educate them. You simply eliminate them or bypass them, go right to the young. And that's what they did when they brought out what seemed to be a spontaneous pop and then rock and roll industry.
Yeah.
And that's right, folks. Our culture is managed. It has been for at least the last 100 years, probably the last several thousand. And that includes techniques that have been perfected. And that includes what happened on the weekend. So hopefully you enjoyed Mr. Watt's little trip through history there. The Fabian Socialists, the NDP, the New Democratic Party, are members of the International Socialists. Go to internationalsocialists.org. And you can see the NDP and socialist parties around the world that are pushing for this. And that's why they don't talk about the New World Order. That's why they don't talk about the central banking system. That's why they don't talk about secret societies. That's why they don't talk about foundation-funded activism. Is because that's who they are. They are. Their job is to make sure they don't talk about certain things, and that they do talk about certain things and in certain ways to guarantee, again, the grant money coming from large foundations, tax-exempt foundations, or small foundations that are networked with larger foundations, and NGOs that are certified by, say, the United Nations. They create that whole network, that whole social engineering model that says, you know, if you want political change, once in a while, get together with thousands of people, yell at some cops, and go home. That's correct. Got to put some love in the music, and got to love your freedom, and got to love your mind, and got to love your ability to figure all of this out. As it goes, I'm checking the cover of the Metro here. Just picked up a copy here, and on the cover it's got a black police officer holding a female blonde cute protester from behind with a bunch of protesters surrounding them, and he's grabbing her by the waist. And it says here, a peaceful protest descends into chaos yesterday after police officers raced into the crowd to grab several suspects in front of a temporary police detention center at Eastern and Pape Avenues. Violent demonstrations took center stage over the weekend during the G20 summit. More coverage throughout the paper here. So law and disorder. And there's a whole crowd surrounding this guy grabbing this girl and I guess hauling her off. And it is a surreal image. As you see some guys try and save this girl, looking at the cop and it just it's a completely weird image to put on the paper here. It says here, police change game plan. The tactical change yesterday saw protesters, pedestrians, and even journalists searched at the whim of police, especially those dressed in black. Black bloc is a violent protest tactic in which anarchists infiltrate large peaceful demonstrators wearing normal street clothing. They then change into black clothing and cover their faces in balaclavas or ski masks before fanning out and destroying symbols of capitalism. Now, great article from globalresearch.ca by Terry Burrows. That suggests that the Black Bloc protesters were in fact police, because once again they were wearing the same police issue boots as the officers who were in regular uniforms. And so the article is entitled "Proof" or the Toronto G20 Riot Fraud. Undercover police engaged in purposeful provocation at taxpayers' expense. From, again, globalresearch.ca. Let's just check out this article right now as fly through this. By Terry Burrows, Toronto is right now in the midst of a massive government/media propaganda fraud. As events unfold, it's becoming increasingly clear that the Black Bloc are undercover police operatives engaged in purposeful provocations to eclipse and invalidate legitimate G20 citizen protests by starting a riot. Government agents have been caught doing this before in Canada. And the article starts off with the evidence from Montebello, Quebec, in August of 2007, when three fairly muscle-bound, guys with masks and rocks were exposed by a union leader as being provocateurs. You can go on YouTube and type in SPP provocateurs union leader, and you can find the video with a 500,000, you know, plus views. And basically they had masks and rocks, and they're moving their way to the front of the protest line, to kind of face off with the cops, and they were stopped. And the other anarchists were screaming, "Policier, policier," and the union leader was going, "This is our line, get your own line, get out of here, take those masks off," and literally actually yanked one of the masks off, a couple of the cops, as the cops kind of retreated a bit, and then dove behind a police line full of, they were supposedly protesters, and they dove into a bunch of cops wearing 40 pounds of riot gear, lined up in a military formation off against the protesters who they were supposedly part of. So that pretty much settled things. And this time around, as it says here, fast forward to the Toronto 2010 G20 protest. On Saturday, June 26, 2010, the Globe and Mail published on their website a number of photographs taken at the afternoon riot in downtown Toronto precipitated by the, quote, Black Bloc. Using these photos, I'm going to show you that once again, the Black Bloc provocateurs and armored police are wearing the exact same shoes. Thanks to the Globe and Mail for these very helpful photos. And it goes through how a Starbucks being vandalized. Here, an operative throws a metal chair through a Starbucks window. This man's physique doesn't look like the seedy anarchist to me. Rather, this is the fit, strong body of a trained soldier, somebody who puts in a lot of regular gym time. He's also wearing what is really a uniform and rather specialized equipment on his forearm and possibly his hip. Unfortunately, this picture, we cannot see the shoes being worn, but we certainly get can in the picture that follows. And this is where it gets interesting. Below is another operative throws another rock at another Starbucks window. This is a brand new, recently issued, very distinctive deep black color combat boot. Note, as at Montebello, the special thick, heavy corrugated soles, plus what appears to be some sort of reinforcement of the upper forefoot or toe area. The mismatched black and white socks might be a recognition code to their colleagues. There's a nice, heavy, shiny new belt. There's another Black Bloc operative stomping on the roof of a Toronto police car. Where are the police? He is obviously being, quote, allowed to trash the vehicle to create what will become the signature media images of the event. Burning police cars in Toronto. But stamping on shattered glass and plastic is pretty hard on your shoes. But his shoes can obviously take it because he's wearing the same brand new distinctive black combat boots as other rock-throwing provocateurs. And you can go to the Globe and Mail to see those. And then you can check the armored police boots. They were all issued new shiny black boots to do this. And so you can see there's substantial evidence that, in fact, you know, they were caught once again. And I was on Yonge Street. I happened to accidentally bump into the protest a couple of times. On Saturday, I wrote a song called Renegade G2010, you know, which I should probably play actually today. A little frazzled getting up this morning. I've been kind of working 24/7 on some of these issues as best I can do my 24/7. And so, apologize for that. But it's been a wild ride. It's been a wild ride. I've interacted with like probably 1,000 cops in the last couple of weeks. And the reactions for the most part have been friendly, and good and so on. But you know, you do know that when it's time for business, you get out of their way. So for the great big Communist Party on Saturday, you know, what I chose to do, instead of showing up to any of these big protests and you know, possibly being shot accidentally, you know, or on purpose, you know, I chose to stick around and work on some music at home. Renegade G2010, breaking down my thoughts on the situation. And then after that, in the evening, I went back out to patrol the streets again and try and counter PSYOP, chill out a lot of people. After putting up posters for, I don't know, 16 hours a day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday last week, after making a song to kind of, you know, rally and chill us out on Monday. And then Friday, just being out all shiny and dapper, with the hair out like a velociraptor, ready to spit venom at anyone who's in my way, and trying to counter PSYOP, because I could tell, you know, once people see that you're on the streets for a few days, or for a few years in different ways, but especially recently for a few days putting up posters and trying to chill out the protest and saying, you know, who wants to yell at a fence and go home? Can we share the non-GMO shopping guide? Who wants to yell at a fence and go home? Montreal and Vancouver don't use fluoride. Do they know something we should? And then putting a website up along with a handful of catchy images. You know, people kind of know you, and they know you're anti-protest. And they don't know exactly why, but when ish hits the fan, they kind of look at you like, maybe you were right. And maybe you were onto something when you started agitating about these issues back in April with, you know, flyers, among other things, an audio blog, and a video, 16 ideas, to suggest to people, what will you do before the G20? Before the G20. Not during the G20 when you show up like you're supposed to at a protest, but before, to get something done about these issues or get something done about the craziness that's about to go down here. Because that's much more of a reasonable thing to expect. also, some very interesting articleage about the brand new sweeping police powers that they have, courtesy of the Toronto Star from the 25th of June, and this is an article by Ms. Jennifer Yang, staff reporter at the Star. The province has secretly passed an unprecedented regulation that empowers police to arrest anyone near the G20 security zone who refuses to identify themselves or agree to a police search. A 31-year-old man has already been arrested under the new regulation, which was quietly passed by the provincial cabinet on June 2nd. Note the word quietly. Note the word quietly. This isn't even, I mean, Ms. Yang can't really indict the government working for the corporate media in an overt way, but certainly in a covert way, by just literally and logically saying quietly, she is letting us know that the government did try and sneak this one by us. The regulation was made under Ontario's Public Works Protection Act and was not debated in the legislature. According to a provincial spokesperson, the cabinet action came in response to an, quote, extraordinary request, unquote, by Toronto Police Chief Bill Blair, who wanted additional policing power shortly after learning the G20 was coming to Toronto. The regulation kicked in Monday and will expire June 28th, the day after the summit ends. While the new regulation appeared without notice on the province's eLaws online database last week, it won't be officially published in the Ontario Gazette until July 3rd, 1 week after the regulation expires. And the Gazette is a publication for legislation. Quote, it's unbelievable you would have this kind of abuse of power where the cabinet can create this offense without having it debated in the legislature, said Howard Morton, the lawyer representing Dave Vassy, who was arrested Thursday under the sweeping new police powers. Quote, It was just done surreptitiously, like a mushroom growing under a rock at night. And if you know what mushrooms are, they're a lot like how we're treated. They're left in the dark and fed BS to grow. According to the new regulation, quote, guards appointed under the act can arrest anyone who, in specific areas, comes within 5 meters of the security zone. And I got to tell you that Friday evening, and I didn't want to, you know, be too active in the streets and mess with the cops. So I went pretty hard Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. And, you know, Monday, you know, I was ID'd on Tuesday. I was ID'd on, so ID'd last week for filming the fence. ID'd on Wednesday, like 8 times. Thursday, I wasn't ID'd after talking about it a lot on Thursday morning show. But Thursday, I did go postering downtown. I found out that Young and Dundas is, in fact, private property now. Young and Dundas going south pretty much to Adelaide, west to Bay, and north to College is now all considered private property. It's been that way for a couple of years, but they're strictly enforcing it. So as I'm actively slapping up on Thursday morning-ish, around 11-ish, my posters at Young and Dundas and around, a couple of more guys. I get cops hopping out the back of vans to stop me, cops hopping off bikes to stop me, cops hopping, you know, out of cars, cops on foot. And now I got red shirted. I mean that literally, not metaphorically. Red shirted Dundas square workers coming out going, hey, buddy, you can't do that. And ripping down my shiznit. And I found out on Thursday, because I was like, all right, fine, I'll go north of College. On Thursday, I didn't know why exactly, but on Thursday, making my way up Young Street north of College, with my little glue stick, slapping up my little silly posters, saying this is all a big stage psyop. Is this a big slap in the face? Go to Infowars.com. Can we save our screw the G20 protest? Who wants to yell at a fence and go home? Can we save our celebrities from the industry? Little pictures of Britney, Miley, and then a lingerie and, you know, prepubescent looking Vanessa Hutchins on them, saying, you know, essentially, can we save our celebrities from being whored out by the industry and whoring out all their fans? Go to Vigilant, V-I-G-I-L-A-N-T, citizen.com for more on who controls the industry and how we can expose that, you know, to do that. And I was followed, you know, all day, just periodically by cops, cop cars, you know, which I'd see, you know, off Young Street as I dipped on side streets to throw up a couple of posters near apartment buildings. City workers, as city workers were just randomly driving by me, and helicopters, police helicopters following me up Young Street as I'd go to different sides of Young Street, the south, the east side and west side, to take a break, to have a smoke or to throw up some more posters. And I, you know, periodically these helicopters be over my head and I'm on Young Street sometimes just staring at dude. Like, dude, what the hell are you doing? You know, you're flying low sometimes. You're blowing around all these little leaves off trees, and they're getting in my, you know, froed out hair. Ah, this is such a mess. And I didn't know why until later, but I realized during a busy rush hour at 3, 4, 5, 6 p.m., you know, the cops and I guess the city workers more specifically were ripping down my posters as soon as I was putting them up. Like, they were literally following me up Young Street. I guess they stopped IDing me. Because that, you know, that didn't work. Like, you know, once they ID'd me and let me continue, that established a fairly decent precedent for, you know, what's acceptable. Like, you know, we could mess with you over this whole thing and nail you with a vandalism charge or something where it's, you know, not warranted, where it might lose in court like they have in the past for free speech and expressing it, you know, on public places like, you know, sign poles and so on. And even during the G20, you know, all we want is the ID. Ascertain that you're not, you know, a suspected criminal, and then you can go out and do, you know, what's fairly, you know, normal stuff in the city. So being ID'd like, you know, 12 times all week, I just gotten used to that by now. I know you're not supposed to give it up, for all you people out there who don't give it up. And Charlie Veach, shout out to Charlie Veach from the Love Police, came all the way over from England, starts talking on a microphone, gets asked for ID and gets hauled off. But you know, I decided that I wanted my freedom on the streets to continue doing this. So again, followed by cops, city workers, and helicopters up the street, ripping down my posters all the way north to Young. But a few were still up, and people did get the message. So how did Toronto like hosting the new psychopathic world government through the week and on the weekend? Well, I don't think we did. Now, I also don't think that we could express it because I did notice, you know, traveling through different areas of the city at different times when there was a heavy police presence and when there wasn't, that psychologically our volume goes down about 50% or more when there's, you know, 734 cops there. You know, we're just a lot more chilled out, a lot more whatever. And when I went to the fence on Saturday, I went down and walked up the CBC building, whole line of cops. I was going to walk through, I had my backpack with me. I was instantly told, stop, you know, drop, you know, where's your ID? And searched again, and I wasn't allowed through the fence. And the I was like, oh, I'm a journalist, but, you know, I don't think that matters. I'm a citizen just kind of tracking the changes here. They shouldn't have been held in the city. And he goes, you know, open your bag. And I said, and I knew he'd bother me about this. So I said, I'm also an activist. And he's like, let me see that. I handed him a little stack of flyers. He drops it, and the main cop goes, you're not a journalist. And I was like, well, you know, actually, I do host a radio show Mondays to Thursdays, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. here on CKLN Radio. And then a couple of female cops, again, metaphorically manhandling me all week, metaphorically manhandled by just lovely female cops. Thank you so much to the female cops out there for being lovely at what you were doing. Bugged me about my red glue sticks because they looked a little flarish. Look at me directly in the eye saying, have I ever been committed a criminal offense? Me looking you directly back saying, no, ma'am. It was just a hell of a trip, and I'll have more of this tomorrow. But I'm out of here. I'm going to leave you with my track, Renegade G2010, and then give you to the people's DJ, Mr. David James. But keep in mind that we were just dealing with a psychological operation on Toronto. That's all this was. It was a psyop. It's meant to scare the crap out of us, to mess us up, to keep us from speaking freely. I'm on the streets rapping, Renegade, never been afraid to say what's on my mind now, any given time of day, because I'm a renegade. And I'm doing this openly on Queen Street yesterday as I'm walking up to head into the latest carnage. I see a Globe and Mail television truck or a Global Television television truck at the Black Bull and a bunch of cops across the street at the Gap just east of Queen and Spadina. And I come back 4 hours later after literally filming it and saying this, knowing that's another stage setup. That's where it's all going to be. And later on, whole bunch of people there and boom. You know, you can see these things happening, you know, in slow motion as people just hang around waiting for the violence to show up. And so on and so forth. So this was a huge staged psychological operation on the people of Toronto. And I got to tell you, as I'm rapping Renegade and people are seeing me, old people, young people, not sure what song I'm singing. It's Eminem and Jay-Z. But just knowing that I'm screaming, I'm a renegade, never afraid to say what's on my mind, they're happy about that. So let's get to talking about these issues. It's the 28th day of June, 2010. We've just finished hosting the G20, and we've just finished an adversarial relationship with our security forces being sent to attack us. Let's try and repair that. Let's try and think a bit. I'm out of here, folks. The People's DJ, David James, is up next. Peace out. Have a great day.
Wow. A lot of crazy stuff going on in this city. A lot of crazy stuff going on in this world. There's always been a lot of crazy stuff going on. But it seems like it's getting crazy. Ah, well. What are you gonna do?
Thumb suckers, say that I'm foolish. I only talk about who rules. Do you fools listen to my music or are you too scared to do it? See, I was influenced by the hip-hop you ruined. The same dude you thought was saying nothing. Now makes more sense than you do. I do what I do through and through. I give you the news with a twist, just his save the ghetto point of view. The renegade, you've been afraid. I penetrate pop culture to bring my life closer to the top with a pot of roses. Born right at your mom's, done a lot of boasting about plant robberies. Can't just bend over. See, I'm not playing philosopher versus officer, because I'm awful sure that's how they played us all for years. Now, all of it is clear, and all of it is here. Don't need a soothsayer to see it on your rear. Been branded like cattle, better get ready for battle. Bad time to get rattled, like you don't know what's the matter. Mind over it, mind control, get over it. Now sober, get drunk later, after making sure there's a later. Saying hi, haters, getting high off the theater of the war on your mind, like we some bedwetting masturbators. Crack knuckles, get bit, get chuckles from the bit, and relentlessly flexing your free muscles with every corpuscle in your corpse. Resurrect your cause. Fans of sorts have become stands of sorts. Can take a stand, of course, like you give a damn about anything. Saying what you thought you wasn't supposed to say, like it's on everything. Welcome to the 21st century. Same spit, different pie hole to take it to. Now they need to cruise around looking at me and you like we need to tell their boss, hey, yo, cut the crap, dude, because nobody risking their job in this economy to play hero to nobody who do nothing to say I'm trapped too. So help me and of course I'll help you. Let's see what we can do. If this is how world government do.